Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. From our house to your house, we have the privilege of joining together in worship. And for that, we're extremely grateful. Thank you, Reverend Langley. Thank you, Minister Hamler, to the praise team and psalmist who led us today. For the band and all the technicians, it is good to be here serving and sharing one more time. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Today, in the city of David, there is born unto you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Today, in the city of David, there is born unto you a Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Amen. I want to talk about two really important questions related to Christmas. I want to talk about two really important questions related to Christmas. Parents, you got to be careful, because y'all can jack some children up when y'all relate Christmas. I had some struggles with Christmas. I used to wonder why I know all the toilets my mama cleaned and the tables she cleaned and how hard she worked, and why, and I know how daddy worked overtime, and I just couldn't understand why they would turn around and give the credit to a fat white man when they worked so hard to give us what they gave us. How y'all tell the Christmas story can jack some folk up. If you're good, he'll bring you something. And so you ought to be good so that you can get something on Christmas. No, you ought to be good so that daddy won't take his belt off and take you in that back room. And what he couldn't get through on this side, he'll work on the other side. It was Derek E., Mark W., Earl J., Cordier, Rocky H., and Big Daryl D., along with myself. We were the Riviera Posse. Before the 25th, we talk about what we were going to get for Christmas. And then at the appointed time on the 25th, we all had to appear at the meeting and then testify to what we really got. Is there anybody willing to admit that sometimes what you thought you were going to get and what you really got didn't match? It was in the 70s. Flip Wilson had a guy on his show by the name of Ron Mingo. And Ron Mingo was about 6'6", African-American, fro, sideburns, three-piece suit. and he had played football in the NFL. But he, after playing football, he went back and got a degree teaching typing. He was in a high school in California, and there he taught typing. And what he would do, he would put R&B records on. He put Stevie Wonder on, and he would type and taught the kids to type to the beat of the music. And he was on the Flip Wilson show because he held the record, and he had won contests all over the country for being the fastest typer. He could do 160 words a minute on a manual typewriter, 180 on an electric. And to see this guy, 6'6", football player, sitting down at the typewriter and typing to the music, just something about that got my attention. My mama must have been about seventh or eighth grade. She would ask us, what would you like for Christmas? And I thought about it. It's one of those things you need to fast and pray, because you're only going to get one. And after fasting and prayer, I told Mama, I said, well, I'd like to have a stereo. She said, well, you better give me two things just in case. I said, I'd like to have a stereo or a typewriter. And on Christmas Day, lo and behold, I opened the box, and there was a Brothers Vintage 11 portable manual typewriter. On one hand, I had enough sense to know you better be grateful, because you didn't have to get that. But then I thought about the meeting. And when it came my turn to announce what I got for Christmas, I would have to explain to the posse, what you get, Larry? I got a typewriter. And I knew what they were going to do. I knew what they were going to say. I knew how they were going to laugh. I knew somebody was going to say, and then they would say, is that something you asked for or just something that they just wanted to give you? And of course I lied. I said, well, they thought it was something I needed. Is there anybody willing to admit that there have been times where we didn't have the maturity to distinguish wants from needs? And I want to suggest to you and share with somebody looking at me right now, all of us have had times where we did not have the maturity, wisdom, or good sense to distinguish between wants and needs. But we ought to stop a moment and praise God. I'm going to do it right now. I want to thank God for Granny Bessie Dale Rasco, Lars Junebug Rasco Jr., who every now and then stepped in to give me what I needed instead of what I wanted. The trial is that a whole lot of folk will buy what they want and ended up having to beg for what they need. Mama gave me what she knew I would need. And that skill that I garnered as a result of having a typewriter at home helped me in school, helped me in college, and is helping me to this very day. Because all the way back in the seventh grade, she gave me a tool, she gave me something that I needed. There are two questions that I told you I wanted to lift up surrounding Christmas. The first question is really centered around this. What did you get for Christmas? And I want to answer that question. It's answered for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. That's not the only place that it's answered, but I'll focus on that particular text. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, Ed, here it is. God gave us what we needed. Today, in the city of David, has been born unto you a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Those three names all signify what God knew we needed. First, he said, I'm giving you a Savior. It's the greatest gift because it meets the greatest need. Even Paul in Romans said, the Jews, y'all need a whole lot of stuff. Y'all being persecuted, it's a political hotbed. You're being oppressed, you're being harassed. But in spite of all of that, what my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is, I'm praying that they might be saved. What good, Paul understood, is peace in the land. And you can have peace in the land but not have a relationship with God and still go to hell. Paul concluded, it's better to have to go through some stuff sometime. Sometimes we got to go through some tyranny. Sometimes we got to go through some oppression. Sometimes we got to go through some racism. Sometimes we got to go through some police abuse. But yet knowing that we've got some place to go, even if folk kill us, it's better to go through it and be saved than to not go through it and to go to hell. Don't get it mixed up. This world's not gonna get any better. Not until the Lord comes again. And so what God knew to help us through, he gave us a Savior. This Savior, the word is defined as one who saves, one who preserves, one who delivers safely. That's what Jesus does. He saves us from our sins. He is the Lamb of God that came to be a sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. He's the only one, the only begotten of God, who did for and does for us what we could not do for ourselves. The word required a perfect sacrifice. And that's what Jesus is. He is the perfect sinless sacrifice that died. And by his blood, by faith in his death, his burial, his resurrection, he has given us something that we could have never obtained on our own. What you get for Christmas, I tell you what God gave us. He gave us the greatest need we had, a Savior. But it doesn't stop there. He's not just a Savior, he's the Messiah. That word Messiah is the anointed one. He is one who's sent from God. Matter of fact, he is God. He is God in the flesh, and God has anointed him. God has given him the power to do everything that God has ordained for him to do. He's God. He's God in the flesh, but he has the anointing to do what God wants done. That's why when Jesus engaged in his earthly ministry, there's a lot of people that just couldn't understand why he would do what he does. People who were caught in the very act, and yet he did what only God could do. He forgave them and flipped the script. People who had problems that weren't his problems, yet he did what only God could do. He would heal, he would feed, he would bless, he'd give sight to the blind, put walking in lame legs, because he does what only God can do. He dealt with bullies who tried to corner people. He dealt with people that tried to put him in the box to tell him who he could love and who he could serve and who he could bless. And he was always breaking out of the box because the Jews had made the mistake of thinking that he was just for them. But no, in Luke it says, no, he is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He's bringing good news, not just to the Jews, but to everybody who needs good news. Those who've been receiving a whole lot of bad news, he is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is the Lord. He's the Lord. That word Lord, Kyrios, is translated ruler, master. He's my Savior. He saved me from my sins. He's the anointed one. He's God in the flesh, but he's the Lord. He's my ruler, because even though I'm saved, I still need a guide. I still need someone to show me, to guide me where God would want me to go, what God would have me to do. He's my Lord. And I can call on him, and he responds to me because when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I have a relationship with him. He's in charge. He's sovereign. He's in control. Dwight, I saw something this year I'd never seen before. Got a FaceTime call from number 5, and grandmother in Florida had sent CJ an early gift. The word was, I'm sending him a remote control car. He's about 19 months old, and she's thinking a little car with a handheld device with a remote control. But no, this is actually one of those bigger cars where he can sit in. It's got a gas pedal, it's got a steering wheel. He's 18 months old. He's sitting in the car. One of the first pictures I saw, he put his hand on the side. He already's fly. He knows how he's gonna roll, but he hadn't quite figured out the gas pedal and the steering wheel. But what was so funny, I saw the car move around. Even though his hands were on the back seat and another hand was in his lap, and I was trying to figure out how that car was moving, how that car was turning, and it dawned on me that he was able to sit in the car, and one day he'll have enough maturity to be able to drive the car, but there's somebody else who is actually in control. Somebody somebody discovered. I'm tired of these kids running into the wall. I'm tired of these kids getting stuck in corner. I'm tired of these kids running over the back of my feet. And so they decided they would create a remote control so that ultimately they are in control, and they could, even though they let them ride, they were still in control. Here's what I'm trying to tell somebody up in here: the good God that I serve, He is in control. He's sovereign. Sometimes we think we're making the decision. Sometimes we think we're calling the shots. But the truth is, God is, He's in control. He's Lord. And He can do what He wants to do, however He wants to do. The first question, Brother Madison, what did we really get for Christmas? We got a Savior. We got a Messiah. We received the Lord. That's the first question. Now, let me finish my time with this second question. First question is, what did we get for Christmas? Next question I want to ask is, what are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? I think it's a good question. What are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? I think I got a right to ask that question because it is His birthday, ain't it? Isn't it His birthday? Well, the question is, what are you going to give Jesus for birthday? Because the truth is, there's a whole lot of folk that hijacked Jesus' birthday and is using it as a gift to get stuff for, using it as an excuse to get stuff for themselves. How would you like it? Somebody threw you a birthday party and everybody got gifts but you. It's your birthday, but everybody is walking out with gifts and you got nothing. Wouldn't you be upset? Wouldn't you be angry? I talked to the Lord the other day. You've heard of hijacking. You've heard of carjacking. There's some folk that have hijacked Jesus' birthday, and I'm here to tell you, He wants it back. He wants His birthday. He wants His birthday back. I'm here to tell you, Jesus told me to tell you, He wants His birthday, and He's got a right to get it back. I heard you. That's a good question. Somebody said, Reverend, how? Then show us, how do we give Jesus His birthday back? You got to explain to us how we can give Jesus a present for his birthday. See, you asked some real good questions. I'm hoping you really want the answer. Here's how we can give Jesus a birthday present. The narrative in Matthew 25 will help us a lot. From about the 14th through even the 40th verse, in that text, Jesus tells the metaphor, the story of a man who was wealthy, and he's getting ready to go on a journey. The man is not moving to another town. He's just going on a journey. And what he does is he calls in a few of his servants. These are people that he has a personal relationship with. These are not individuals that he just met. These are individuals that he's been working with. They've been working together for a long time. And Jesus explains in the narrative that he gives one of them 5 talents. He gives another 2 talents. Then he gives another one 1 talent. And then the man went on his journey. Because they knew each other, it was expected. They knew what to do. The man called his servants and made his servants stewards. Now, let me tell you what a steward is. A steward is somebody who's handling somebody else's stuff. Let me say it again. A steward is somebody who is managing somebody else's stuff. And he distributed 5, 2, and 1 according to the text, according to their ability. And he went to his journey. All 3 of these guys did something with what they were given. One day, the trip was over. The man came back, and when he came back, he called in all of the individuals that he had given. The one who had 5 doubled the return on investment. The one who had 2 doubled the return on his investment. The one who had 1 came back and said, "Well, you see, I knew how tough you were, and so I went and buried it and didn't lose it, but I buried it, and I'm giving you back just what you gave to me." And then Jesus said, "Oh, you wicked servant, if you really knew me, you at least could have given it to somebody else to get some interest on it, but you're lazy, you're wicked. You had the resources, you had the ability, you had the time, and you did nothing." And then Jesus went on to explain the kingdom of God. This whole narrative was given to say this is what the kingdom of God is like. People who've been entrusted with somebody else's stuff, and he's expected them to use it for the benefit of the master. Because one day he's coming back and will hold all of us accountable. As the narrative goes on, he says, "And that in that day, God's going to separate the righteous from the wicked." Righteous who've done what God asked him to do. Unrighteous for those who did not. And Jesus says, "We're going to separate them because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you put some clothes on me. I was sick and you came to see about me. I was in prison, and you put something on the books." Watch this now. When you look at what Jesus said about these individuals that were served, on one hand, you have need. The second hand, you've got action. Here's the need. Here's the action. The need, hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison. And for every need, there was followed by an action. Let me say it again. Hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison. Hey, for every need, there is an action. And Jesus said, "I'm going to bless you because you saw the need and you met it with an action." And somebody said, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison? Jesus, we ain't never seen you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison. And then Jesus uttered these words in verse number 40. "When you've done to the least of these, you've done it also unto me. You want to know how to give Jesus a Christmas present? Find somebody hungry, thirsty, naked, stranger, sick, and in prison, and somebody is going to tell me, I don't know nobody. Hungry, thirsty, stranger, sick, in prison, or naked. Well, if that's the case, you're living in a bubble, because in this world, all you gotta do is just open your eyes and you'll see somebody hungry, thirsty, stranger, sick, naked, in prison. You better open your eyes and then you'll see there are somebody who's hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. There's no shortage of people who are hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of these, you've done it unto me. Now, wait a minute. Some of y'all still ain't getting this. I'm gonna do it one more time. I'm gonna put it where you can get it. Here it is. First of all, it does not have to be somebody who's related to you. See, the problem with some folk, you don't give to nobody unless you're in a relationship with them. But you didn't have a relationship with Jesus, but yet he showed up and gave to you. It doesn't have to be anybody you're in a relationship. Are you ready for number two? Secondly, it doesn't have to be anybody who can reciprocate. Some people, you only give to people who can give back to you. You buy lunch for those who can buy you lunch. You buy clothes for those who can buy you clothes. You give gift cards to those who can give you gift cards. Every now and then, you ought to bless somebody who cannot reciprocate. You really ain't done nothing when you're giving to people only because they can give back to you. Number one, they don't have to be in a relationship. Number two, they don't have to reciprocate. Number three, sometimes you gotta help people who are helping people. I'm gonna say it one more time. Sometimes you need to help people who are helping people. I saw this the other day, 867 East Riverside. There's a new Habitat house, 867 East Riverside. And on that Habitat house, they gave the name of the lady. That house belongs to the Carter family. But there was a big sign out. There was a big sign out that said, this house was built by an anonymous donation in the name of John H. and Mary Ada Berg. Let me say it again. This house was built by an anonymous donation in the name of John H. and Mary Ada Berg. We don't know who gave the money, but we know that they gave it in the name of John and Mary Berg. Let me say it again. Nobody will ever know who wrote the check, but they did it in the name of John and Ada Berg. Let me say it one more time. Nobody will know who the money came from, because it's an anonymous donation. But they did it in the name of somebody that they love. How do you give Jesus a person? Every now and then, you need to bless somebody anonymously. You might have to think it through, but bless them that they may never know your name, but they'll give God the glory. Somebody has been calling on God. God heard their prayer, looking for people who respond anonymously. But it really ain't anonymous. I'm giving in Jesus' name. Have I got a witness here? You need to help somebody hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and do it anonymously in Jesus' name. Give him back his birthday. Give him back his birthday. Jesus only has, he only has one birthday. He only got one. Give it back to him because of his birthday. Here's the dilemma, and I'll take my seat. We had one birthday and two deaths. We had one birthday, two deaths. Birthday, the day we came into the world, but we were faced with two deaths, a physical death and then a spiritual death. And then Jesus had a birthday. And because of his birthday, we get, when we put our faith in him, we lose a death, but gain another birthday. For every child of God, because of Jesus' birthday, you get two birthdays. I got a birthday when I was born into the world, December 8th, 1959. I got a second birthday in 1967 when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I was born again. Mama, you got one death now, but you got two birthdays. And since you got two birthdays, leave Jesus alone. Celebrate his birthday. Find somebody hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and then bless them in Jesus' name. Bless them in Jesus' name. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm gonna leave here. Find somebody who's hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, in prison, sick, and bless them in Jesus' name. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you and many more. Yes, sir.